May it please the court?
Yes, sir.
In this discipline case, I think we should start with a look at respondent's past, which shows again and again his shortfalls in following court's rules, court orders, and some basic civic obligations. Since 2012, he's been suspended three times and been admonished four times since 2007, including just three in the last 3 years. The admonitions included the 2007 one was a competence violation and failing to notify the client when he withdrew. Then 2013, while tax suspended, admonished for continuing to practice during that suspension. That same year was an odd case. He was being deposed. He and his partner were being deposed at another firm's offices, and he found some credit cards in the waiting area, but failed to tell the other firm that he had found the cards until he was actually confronted about it, even though he knew they were looking for them. And last year, he accepted another admonition. This one was for failing to monitor and supervise his partner, a two-person firm, for trust account
procedures. He denies the credit card one, says there was an explanation. Was there a hearing and a determination on that?
He accepted the admonition, and the facts stated in the admonition are as I just explained them. Okay. And the admonition is in the record, so it's accepted. So I consider those facts as finally determined. Okay. So in addition to those admonitions, we also have three suspensions in the last 3 years, two for tax failing to pay his state income taxes, and one for failing to meet his mandatory CLE obligations. In this case, he's charged with, and he admits, that he knowingly continued to practice during his second tax suspension, and he admits that he tried to conceal that practice by using his partner's bar number, and that after being admonished for failing to supervise or monitor the trust accounting practices, he allowed his partner to use the firm trust account, or acquiesced in the use of the firm trust account, to pay his reinstatement fee from one of those tax suspensions. So in light of that history and those new violations.
Have you examined the trust account to see if there are any other improprieties?
Yes, Your Honor, and that was there was another case involving his partner, and she's been disciplined for the information that was found in that.
But not regarding Mr. Walker?
Right. It did appear, my understanding is it appeared that she was taking the primary responsibility for managing the trust account, but he did receive the admonition a year and a half ago, relating to his the role that the Rule 5.1 puts on small firms, and actually on large firms too, for management and supervision to make sure that things are running carefully, run properly. And when they don't, for the lawyer to then take steps to fix it. And that's what the second violation is for. So in light of that history and these new violations, we recommend we recommend an actual suspension with no leave to apply for at least 6 months, and longer is probably better. We don't think probation is available under Rule 5.225. Probation is only available if the lawyer can be adequately supervised, and we don't see, given his extensive history of really not dealing with authorities such as the Department of Revenue and this court, we don't know how supervision can succeed. He also asked for credit for time served for the period that he reports voluntarily stopping practice. He says that he stopped practicing the day the disciplinary hearing panel issued its report, which was April 16th of this year. In fact, if he wants credit and the court decides to do it, I would think it'd only be good for the next 3 weeks, because 3 weeks later he was suspended again for those CLE, the non-compliance, the CLE, which was actually due July of the year before, so it was whatever that is, 9 months overdue at that time, and that's when the court imposes those MCLE suspensions is after 9 months.
Has he made up for the missing CLE now?
No, I don't think so. I think he hasn't tried again. And in fact, another month later, in June, he was stricken from the rolls because he had not paid his enrollment fees for this year. So, you know, and those were due, of course, in January 31st of this year.
And those are still not paid?
I assume so. I did not check, Your Honor. Respondent also asked the court for consideration, I think in mitigation for, and this is for the first time in his brief, mentions that he has alcohol problems. Nothing in the record supports it. It's not that I doubt it, it's just that it's not in the record, and there's no compliance with, so I don't think it should have any evidentiary value. And then, of course, under Rule 5.285, we don't get mitigation unless we can produce an independent medical evaluation, and the burden is on the respondent to show that there was a diagnosis, and that the condition that's been diagnosed caused the misconduct, and that after that, which there wouldn't have been time for anyway, at this point, there's an extended recovery with prognosis for that misconduct is unlikely to occur.
Talk to me about the misconduct that he admitted using his law partner's bar number and signature to try to hide the fact that he was practicing law while under suspension.
Right. That's exactly what happened. And that, as it turns out, Your Honor, that particular conduct is really an aggravating circumstance here, instead of, because it wasn't specifically charged as a dishonesty violation.
And why was it not charged?
I don't know.
What was charged?
I'm sorry. Unauthorized practice, Rule 4-5.5.
So it was charged, just not as dishonesty?
Yes, I'm sorry. The dishonesty in using the partner's bar number was not charged as a violation of Rule 8.4C.
Thank you, sir.
The 5.5, unauthorized practice, was charged. And also Rule 5.27, that's the rule that tells lawyers what they have to do when they're suspended or disbarred, that he didn't comply with that because he continued to practice.
If the court orders suspension of any length, how do we account for the fact that he is currently suspended on, it seems like, two different bases? Should this suspension run from reinstatement?
Oh,
should they all run concurrently?
From a timing perspective, I'm sorry. Because if the question is, can a lawyer be suspended if he's already suspended, I think the answer is yes, they can. That from the perspective of what, when the lawyer should be eligible for reinstatement, I think that's sort of the question. I guess, technically, it would be from whenever the court writes it in their decision, if it's written, and whenever he might become eligible under the conditions of the other suspension. So the other suspensions could be remedied, if that's the right word, by MCLE, getting up to date on MCLE and paying past fees and current fees. The discipline suspension is he would be eligible as soon as that were, as soon as the court said he could be in the order.
So is the CLE automatic reinstatement? Is that what you're saying? Is the CLE compliance with that, is that automatic reinstatement then?
Well, in sitting by itself, yes.
Within 3 years, aren't both of those
right,
automatic?
Right, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Aren't both of those automatic within 3 years?
I think that's right. That's my recollection of both. At least one of them is that if it's longer than 3 years, then they have to go through the more formal reinstatement process. So I'm not sure I completely answered, but I think the court can write its decision to say when this lawyer would be eligible.
I assume power or authority, but I'm asking what you would recommend we do, and whether the purposes of discipline are served by suspensions that are all concurrent, and that the disciplinary suspension might be subsumed within the time it takes to pay down the tax or, the, or adhere to the CLE requirements.
Yeah. I mean, I think that just gives another reason to extend it to at least a year instead of 6 months. And that's kind of where I was going with it, is that we think at least 6 months is appropriate, and a year, that's another reason why a year might be more appropriate.
Is there a tax suspension here, or that's not?
I think the taxes now, those are paid and would be eligible under that, under 5.245, the tax suspension rule.
So we have, the process would be different if we suspend him without leave to apply for 1 year. The process would be different than if we suspended him without leave to apply for 6 months.
Actually, the process, yes, the process could be different. In fact, even the shorter suspensions, our office, the court asks us whether we want to allow it to be expedited or whether we want to go.
Well, it's automatic unless you ask that it not be, if it's 6 months.
Yes.
Unless, okay.
And as far as mitigating evidence, he was very cooperative and
that's true.
Worked with
yes.
you.
Yes, we've had no difficulty in working with him. And in fact, he's acknowledged the misconduct. There are at least one case in Missouri that's not in the briefs that I thought might be helpful. In re Reza, R-E-Z-A, 743 Southwest 2nd 411, was involving just a negligence case, but also continuing to practice while suspended for nonpayment of fees. 1988, that lawyer was, the court imposed a 6 month suspension. There's also a Page case, 257 Southwest 2nd, 679 in 1953. And that wasn't and that lawyer was practiced while suspended and was held in indirect contempt. And so violated Rule 5.5, and as a result was held in contempt of court, got a $100 fine.
Would you submit a letter to the court with those cites?
Yes, I would.
And also give a copy to Mr. Walker.
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions? We'll hear from you on rebuttal.
Please, the court.
Certainly.
As stated, I really don't have much of a fight here. I do admit that this took place. I guess the only thing I would bring up is mitigating circumstance. In that, and also this past. They rely heavily on these past misconducts and so forth. I want to go back to the 2013, which is the credit card.
Should speak into the mic.
I'm sorry. Which is the credit card issue that is what I was admonished for was not what took place. And it's just, I guess, bad memory is the best way I could explain how they came out with that. And the reason I say this is I did go to the office for the deposition. I did find the cards on a couch when I first walked in. My partner was going upstairs to do her deposition first, so I gave her the cards. They had Mr. McCloskey's name on it, who was doing the deposition. So I gave her the cards to give to him when she went upstairs. She went upstairs, I saw a female attorney at the firm come downstairs. I later learned it's his wife. But I saw her come downstairs and was looking for the cards. I asked her if she was looking for the cards. She said yes. I told her that I gave them to my partner. She went upstairs, got the cards from my partner, and then I was escorted out by the police for theft. So, as stated, putting it up to bad memory. But there was no hearing on this. It was just, I wrote in my response, and that was my response. And then I was told that I got the admonishment letter. And I did accept it. At the time that all of these things were going on, as he stated, I've never brought up alcohol before. My father passed away in November of 2013. It hit me harder than I thought. I started drinking a lot, and I was making bad decisions. Now, I'm just saying this as a mitigating circumstances in that I was making bad decisions. I have since undergone counseling, and I am not drinking. But this all began after the last, the disciplinary hearing. I had the hearing, then I started seeing the counselor, and that is why I have not done anything as far as practicing law since that time. I've been trying to work out my personal issues.
And are you competent now to take up your practice, or do you need further?
I believe I can. I do have worries. I probably will never not have worries, but that's something I'll need to face, and I'm willing to do that.
You have not followed the requirements of the rule to have objective evidence presented of your circumstances and evaluations, etc., because you are raising it for the first time in your brief. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch it there yet.
You have simply raised the issue of drinking in your brief, as opposed to presenting it under circumstances where you would present independent evidence of your circumstances.
Correct. I'm just under the mitigating circumstance of the ABA standard, I'm just pointing out that at that time I was not thinking well. I was drinking a lot.
To what do you attribute your practice while you were suspended?
To my practice, well, my practice, what I was worried about with my practice more than anything were my clients. At the time that this took place, my partner's husband had cancer, and he was going very aggressive chemotherapy. He has since passed away, but at that time he was undergoing very...
And I'm, you know, your concern for your clients is admirable, but if this court says you're suspended, it doesn't say unless you think it's really important. I mean, you can refer cases to other counsel.
I understand that. I did not have money to pay other counsel to take over my cases. My firm was dying, and I did not have money to pay other people for that. I could have asked favors. As I said, I was not making good choices.
What would you do if we were to allow you to continue practicing and a similar situation arose? How would you handle it?
I would try to work out some kind of deal with another attorney that I work with at the court. The bankruptcy court is what I do, and I would try to work out a deal where they would maybe take over some of my Chapter 13, so they would get paid by the trustee, and at the same time take over some of my sevens. But at least that way they would receive some money. But at this time I was trying to keep my firm alive, and it was not happening. It did not happen. Let's see. Oh, the 2012 was when I was suspended for the taxes the first time. These are the same taxes twice that they came back to me. What happened was in 2007, I submitted my tax forms. The IRS then contacted me and told me that they were adding income that I had not put on there. I obtained an advocate who helped me with the IRS, and we got it worked out. What I did not know is they contacted Missouri and told Missouri that they had added this income. Missouri then in 2012 came back and said you didn't pay the taxes because of the new income, because the IRS never told them that we had taken care of the problem. They only told them that the problem existed. Then that's when I got the 2012. Then I worked out a system of payments with them. which I messed up, and I just was not aware, and it's in the brief, how I just was not aware that I had closed this account and the money wasn't coming out. As soon as I could work out with them the amounts and everything else, I finally had to go to a family member and borrow the money to pay the taxes. But now those taxes all are paid, and I was reinstated after getting those paid.
You've not made an attempt to pay your back enrollment fees or to do
No, I have not. Up? I've been, I have not done anything with the law for a while as I was dealing with other issues.
You haven't gone inactive either? I guess you're suspended, so you...
Yes, I'm right now I'm just working some part-time jobs and kind of dealing with other issues. But as I say, now I feel ready to try. And, you know, there will always be worries, but I'm ready to go. I do take these charges very seriously. I've worked hard to get this license, and I want to keep it. The personal issues I have, I believe, are under control, and I do wish to get back into practicing law.
The admonition for the credit cards, the letter to you from OCDC it presents different information from what you've just told us. And it presents the information that when someone came looking for the cards, you did not tell them that you had found them, and you did not tell them that you'd given them to your partner. And despite what you're saying now versus what you were confronted with, you accepted the admonition and did not challenge that. It was for a very different fact scenario.
There were two reasons I accepted. It did not make me stop practicing law. And I had a dying law practice with a partner who wasn't around very much, so I kept going. Two, I don't know how those facts came to be. I would imagine that somebody at the other law office said that this is what took place. I don't know why the OCDC would say, well, they're right and he's wrong. I don't know why that would happen other than maybe...
Well, if they had accepted the admonition, there'd have been a hearing, and then the facts would have been determinative. But just if somebody pleads guilty to an offense, we don't go ahead and have a trial.
Which I understand. And like I said, if there would have been more than an admonition that would have made me stop the practice of law, I would have taken the time to do that. However, this did not make me stop practicing law, and I was on a sinking ship.
Why shouldn't the court just consider like every other consequence of a bad decision that you've made? Why isn't that just in the regular list of bad decisions that you've made?
They're all in there. I just don't like the way that one came up, because that's a bad memory by another attorney, and that does not make me feel good. And that's the only thing that's, I guess, stuck in my craw about that. But, as I said, they were all bad decisions. I was on a sinking ship and I was trying to bail and it did not work. We went down anyway. With the checks in the admonition for the trust account, even at the time of the hearing, I did not do the trust account. I had nothing to do with it. That was her end when we first started. I was day to day and she was bookkeeping.
And your admonition was for failure to supervise. It wasn't for doing the actions yourself.
Correct. That also came at the same time. And then I was reinstated for the taxes, and that's when she used a check from a trust account to pay my reinstatement fees. I did not know if she had used a check from the trust account to pay my reinstatement fees. I just knew they were paid by the office. And as I said, the other offenses, I can't really argue with either. I did before not complete my CLEs, and as a way of explanation, I worked for a firm that was centered out of Chicago. Chicago at that time, Illinois, did not have CLEs. They did not give us time. They did not pay for them. They didn't care about them. So I did not get them done, but I knew they should have been done, and I didn't, so I can't really blame that on them.
The Office of Disciplinary Counsel has indicated that this is not an appropriate case for probation. Can you address that? Because they say you can't be adequately supervised and the public protected. Do you want to address that?
I don't know how to address that. I did ask in the hearing that if there was a way that I could continue to practice and show them that I was, you know, doing right, I would be more than happy to do that. I'm not sure what that would take.
Have you taken a law practice management class? Would you be willing to? Have you submitted reports from doctors about your present ability to practice and the state of your health?
Go ahead. With the alcoholism, the only thing I have is I went to counseling. I don't have a doctor's diagnosis or anything. I guess my counselor could state that, but that's all I have in AA, of course. I did for a while. I just did not find that overly helpful as much as the counseling sessions. But I would be willing to do anything to show them that I am prepared to go back to work, as far as classes or anything they would want from me.
Thank you. Your time is ended.
Thank you very much.
In light of the four admonitions and the three suspensions and intentional deception of the court to conceal the unauthorized practice and continuing the same misconduct after previous admonitions for that conduct and continuing to take client money without a license, we think an actual suspension is appropriate. The Reza case that I pointed to, actually, if the court will allow, I'll also cite cases from three other states that involve unauthorized practice during a period of suspension from Colorado, Louisiana, and Oregon in the letter that I sent. The panel, DHP, the panel recommended at least 6 months suspensions. And that's what we think is the minimum, and a year would also be appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. The case will be submitted.